Krishna, so we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 13,
text number 6.
Ityut sa sarja svam deham.
Ityut sa sarja svam deham.
Nimiradyatmakovida.
Nimiradyatmakovida.
Mitra varunayor jagyan.
Mitra varunayor.
Urvashayam prapitamaha.
Urvashayam prapitamaha.
Iti
das.
Utsasarja.
Utsasarja.
Gave up.
Swam.
His own.
Deham.
Body.
Nimi.
Maharaja Nimi.
Adhyatmakovida.
Fully conversant with spiritual knowledge. Mitra Varunayo.
From the semen of Mitra and Varuna.
Discharge from seeing the beauty of Urvashi. Jage was born.
Urvashyam.
Through Urvashi. A prostitute of the heavenly kingdom.
Prapitamaha.
Vasishta.
Who was known as the great grandfather.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. After saying this, Maharaj Nimi, who was expert in the science of spiritual knowledge, gave up his body. Vasishta, the great grandfather, gave up his body also, but through the semen discharged by Mitra and Varuna when they saw Urvashi, he was born again. Purport. Mitra and Varuna chanced to meet Urvashi, the most beautiful prostitute of the heavenly kingdom, and they became lusty. Because they were great saints, they tried to control their lust, but they could not do so, and thus they discharged semen. This semen was kept carefully in a water pot, and Vasishta was born from it. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namina. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Goravani Pracharine Nivisha Shashunyavadi Pashyate Adeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Nigora Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Canto 9, is full of strange things. And there's a reason for this. We'll go back to that. Here we have a very strange situation with Mitra and Varuna. Mitra and Varuna, they are great personalities. They are not on our level. And they saw Urvashi and they tried to control themselves. And they couldn't. So you should think... So they discharged semen and... We think, oh, we're devotees. We're devotees. And for us, we can associate with the opposite sex unrestrictedly, and there will be no consequence because we're devotees. Yeah, of course. So, because we're devotees, it's no problem. But here we have Mitra and Varuna, who are a bit more advanced than we are. And they couldn't control themselves. And we can safely assume that if we also associate very loosely with the opposite sex, we will also discharge semen in some way, one way or another. And probably from our semen there will not be born a sage like Vasishta. Anyway. No comment. I'm not gonna say anything more on this, but this is an important topic for the Vaishnavas, because there's some rules about associating with opposite sex in Vaishnava culture, and there's some reason for it. And here you have one good reason that Mitra and Varuna couldn't control their senses. So if you think, I can do, then maybe we're in a bit of illusion. And the reason why all these strange things happen in this canto is to convince us that this material world is not just milk and honey. you see really strange things happen. And of course, we spoke before about the teachings of Kapila Dev, who is also in another way trying to convince us that, look, this material world is not a nice place, and you're not going to find a safe position here. There's not going to be a safe position. You're not going to arrange things in such a way that... here also we find Maharaj Nimi, who is very well situated, great king. He has a great spiritual master like Vasishtha Muni. And you will think, life's good, things are on track, you know? And then you have this situation with that Maharaj Nimi wants to perform a yagya, and Vasishtha says, no, I don't have time now or later. And when he comes back and he's angry and he curses his disciple to die. So we think, okay, he's in a quite safe position, he's doing yagya, and then he's cursed to die. Yeah, so there's the same idea, there's really no safe position. And you see that also this great personality like Vasishtha Muni, he sometimes does really crazy things. You have crazy things. You have Vasishtha Muni cursing. Ananta Prabhu mentioned yesterday about Vasishtha Muni cursing Prishadra. And there's the spiritual master is supposed to help the disciple, not curse him. And sometimes he should chastise him, but anyway. And then you have a strange fight between Vasishtha and Vishvamrita, described earlier still in this canto, I think 7th chapter or something like this. And this they are fighting so hard. They were Vasishtha and Vishvamitra were really fighting hard, and at some point they cursed each other that one should become a bird and the other should become a duck. So one became a bird and the other became a duck, and they continued fighting as a bird and a duck, you know, like. So you would think, come on, man, this great personalities like Vishvamitra is the spiritual master of Lord Ramachandra. So you have these great personalities and they are fighting, you know, like children, you know, like, and then they become duck, they become birds, and they just continue fighting. Yo. Really strange. And as I said, the idea is that these stories are meant to tell us that there is no safe place in this world. And no matter where you are, because this is not happening on this earth in Kali Yuga, you know, like this is happening in with elevated personalities. No matter where you are, some crazy things might happen. So if you're in the material world, you can expect that some crazy things will happen. Sorry, no, there's no solution. Yeah, there's this verse, padam padam yadvi padam natasham. So in material world is meant to be like that. It's a danger. Every step there is some danger. You have King Chitraketu, who is also a very, very exalted personality. King Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord appeared in front of King Chitraketu. He was very, very advanced. And he had a somehow friendly relationship with Lord Shiva. So, they were like, of course, Lord Shiva is more advanced, but they had somehow a friendly relationship. They were not. And then Chitraketu goes by some where the sages were staying, and Lord Shiva is with Parvati in his lap, and he makes a joke, you know, like friends usually make some jokes, you know, like that's, you know, it happens, you know, like they just how do I say it in English? They make jokes on each other a bit, you know, like just, haha, and everyone is haha, that's so funny. So Lord Shiva was with Parvati in his lap, and this was assembly of sages. Everyone was there: Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, spiritual master of Chitraketu. You can see this lila from with Chitraketu from many angles. And then Chitraketu is like, oh, how amazing it is that in this association of the sages, Lord Shiva is with his wife on his lap, you know. And somehow suggesting that maybe it's not so appropriate, you know. But it's explained there from many angles. But one of the angles is that Chitraketu was having this friendly relationship with Lord Shiva, and he just made a joke, you know. And then Parvati didn't like the joke. So, what to do? You make a bad joke, and then Parvati says that because you're acting like a demon, then you should be born with a body. You should have a body of a demon, so everyone can see how demoniac you are. So, see, you are this great personality. You're friends with Lord Shiva, and you make a bad joke. You're in the material world, you make a bad joke. Instantly finished. Everything, your good life is finished, and you get the body of a demon. Big demon. Vitrasura. Usually demons are not not very, they don't look demoniac in many cases, but this was a full-on demon. Usually demons are with like this lawyer type. They have a suit, they are impeccable. They know the Shastras, they have nice bodily features. But yeah, they are demons. So it's not so much about the body, it's more about consciousness. But this Vritrasura is a hardcore demon, like real demon. He has a real body of a demon. So this, of course, question which Ananta Prabhu added yesterday is like, what good people do in a bad situation? And they just tolerate. So Chitraketu is like with folded hands. Oh, mother, okay, I'm sorry, you know. But he doesn't ask for. He says, if you think this was offensive, I mean, it was really a joke. But if you think it's offensive, I can accept, no problem. You know, like, I can become a demon. I have some bad karma to burn, so no problem. So Chitraketu is really such a great personality that he's so detached. He's like, okay, these problems come. Okay, today I'm great. personality, tomorrow I have the body of a demon. No problem. Completely detached. And yeah, Lord Shiva glorifies him. There's more in this connection with Chitraketu. But this first part is that we should understand that this material world is not a good place. And there, it's not a safe place. You cannot find a safe place in the material world, no matter how much you're looking for. You know, like, something can happen and instantly, in a moment, the whole bubble we are into, we think, okay, I have this security, that security, that security, can be finished. And the only safe place is in the spiritual world. That's it. That's the idea. And another thing which is very interesting in this Lila with Maharaj Nimi. As Ananta Prabhu said yesterday, things are really not black and white. Things are very, very complicated. So we should really understand things properly to make a clear cut. Our philosophy is not that you chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It is, but there are so many subtle things to it that you have to know. Like, there's some details. And here you have interesting subject. Ananta Prabhu touched a bit yesterday, but I'll say a few more things. Which means disobeying the spiritual master. It's a really interesting subject, and I will explain a bit later why it's also important for us to understand. Of course, usually when we come to Krishna consciousness, we don't really need to learn how to disobey the spiritual master. Usually we need to learn how to obey the spiritual master. But there are also cases like this when you need to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. You have it was mentioned also the case of Bali Maharaj, and his spiritual master says, "Don't surrender to Krishna. Why do you want to surrender to Krishna? Don't surrender. Don't give anything to Krishna." So then. Also, this level Maharaj Nimi you can see from many angles. But here you have Vasishta who is telling his disciple, "Don't do this yaga later. Wait." So this is a case where it's okay to reject the instruction of the spiritual master, and then of course you need a criteria for rejecting the instructions of the spiritual master. So this criteria is very clearly established in the case of Bali Maharaj. And the criteria is that the spiritual master tells us not to surrender to Krishna. That's the criteria. It's not something whimsical. It's the criteria is that spiritual master says not to surrender to Krishna. And in our society, we make things a bit more simple, or more specific, let's say. Because in our society, we think, we consider Srila Prabhupada, he's the representative of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he knows what we need to do. So in this society, we should follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And I remember His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj said, he gave a class in Romania at some point, and he said that if I'm saying something different from Srila Prabhupada, you don't have to follow. Maharaj said, I mean, it was not my... it was not a concoction. He said about himself that if he's giving instructions different from what Srila Prabhupada wanted, then you don't have to follow. Then you will say, okay, maybe this is not relevant for us. Maybe in the 80s and 90s there was this problem with gurus in ISKCON who were falling down, you know, like. And this was a problem at that time. And nowadays the spiritual masters are more or less in good standing. No, they are not falling down anymore. The situation is a lot better. And that's true. But when you speak about guru, you speak not only about Diksha Guru, you speak also about Shiksha Guru. So you have a Diksha Guru and you have Shiksha Gurus also in our society. You have many Shiksha Gurus. So it's really, so many authorities, many gurus, many devotees, many senior devotees. And if we try to follow all the instructions we hear from the devotees, we'll just go crazy. No, it's just practical, you know, like we hear devotees say so many things, you know. And I heard at some point His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj said in one class that first thing you need to do in Krishna consciousness movement is to understand who is who. I was like, first thing? Why? You know, like distinguish why everyone is seen. But there is a reason. You have to understand which devotees are on which level. No, it's really important. And of course, Srila Rupa Goswami says the basic, the first, the lowest level you go with a devotee is that you respect everyone. That's the basis. Of course, you have to respect all the devotees. But then you should see who is on which level and which instructions are in accordance with Srila Prabhupada's ideas. And you see which instruction you should follow and which not. It's simple. And based on who we take as role models, because we have to take some role models in this. Our growth is faster or slower based on who we follow. Yeah, it sounds maybe not so liberal and sounds maybe not so Vaishnava, but it's quite simple. You see that devotees, because they come from different backgrounds, they have different contaminations. And you should learn from the devotees what Prabhupada wanted, not these different contaminations. That's the whole idea. And you can have strange cases, you know, like in ISKCON, outside. In ISKCON, you can have strange cases. We had in Romania, at some point, a sort of a temple. Yeah, it was more like an Amahata. And at some point, there was a cat. It was maybe even bigger than here, a big yard. And there was a cat who moved into the yard for some reason. She moved there. Mm-hmm. And the devotees adopted this cat somehow. You know, they said, oh, this is our temple cat. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And then they said, okay, we have to be compassionate to the cat now. And they started giving her milk and so on. And they gave her milk, and the cat didn't go anymore. You know, like she was she was feeling good. She was living in a temple. She had a good situation, and then the cat was becoming weak, because cats usually they have to eat meat. And then we were like, "Come on, we cannot feed the cat meat." And there was like a big debate. And eventually, one Prabhupada disciple came, and he came, you have to give her some fish. Mm. So anyway, So the devotees in the temple compound, they started feeding some fish to the cat, you know. Like. And after some time, you know, like if there's some fish, there can be something else also. It's only logical. And then the next step came, and there were some normal cat food. And if you read what's in the cat food, you know, like you see that there was a mix of meat. It was meat from the pork, and of course some beef also. Why not? You know, you can have some beef. No. So you got that the devotees were feeding the cat a mix of some beef, you know, which is horrible, you know, in Vedic culture to kill the cow to it's something untotal. Anyway, there was a big turmoil at some point. Temple president came and told me that it's my duty to feed the cat because it's our dependent and so on. And I was like, yes, of course, yes. And of course, I didn't do anything. And at some point, we just threw all the cat food, and there was another turmoil, and someone eventually took the cat out of the temple. And the whole lila was finished, you know, Hare Krishna. So these kind of things can happen, you know, like this is maybe an extreme example. Though if you think about animals and feeding cat to their pets, I don't want to do this study, but I'm pretty sure some grihastha, some devotees do this. Which Prabhupada never encouraged. This is like, because you're feeding I think in first canto somewhere, Prabhupada quotes from Manu Samhita, that he said that the person who kills, who carries the meat, who sells, who buys, who gives, and who eats, they are all... what was the term? They are all liable. They are culprits. They will all take some karma for this. So it's like giving food to a pet, giving meat to a pet is like eating meat. Maybe not. You get half the karma. But, you know, like, this is unthinkable. But anyway, so you can have many cases like this. And it's really, really important. And as Ananda Prabhu said, we're more like in the lineage of Prishadra. If we get such instructions, we don't have to, we don't curse the, like here Maharaj Nimi is cursing Vasishta. We're not cursing anyone. But you just don't follow, you know. So this is quite important thing. This because sometimes we have this logic that some senior devotees, they are authorities, and they are authorities as much as they follow Srila Prabhupada. That's the idea. Now, of course. As I said, so this is really important. And you can go even further with disobeying the gurus because we have, before coming to Krishna consciousness, we had so many influences in our life. We had so many gurus. We had this, we learned from so many personalities, this psychologist, this psychiatrist, this whatever, personal development, this, that. And we have to also reject this kind of gurus. Because we have to see, okay, what I learned from this personality, is it in accord with what Srila Prabhupada is teaching? Is it in accord with Vedic culture? That's really, really hard to do sometimes. Like... the more you invest in some field, like we had in, I was in contact with someone who was a yoga teacher for 15 years. So it was really hard to tell that, you know, just forget everything, you know. You know, this person invested 15 years in acquiring this knowledge, this false knowledge eventually, because she had no idea about yoga, what's yoga, you know. Yoga means to chant Hare Krishna, to surrender, to connect to Krishna. So she was doing this, and she was learning this sort of Mayavada philosophy and so on. It was really hard, and eventually she couldn't accept, you know, like, come on, this, you forget everything. Like Prabodhananda Saraswati, I think he has this idea of how to preach. This preaching is like, you are very wise, you are very learned, you are very, you glorify. You put some straw in between the teeth, that's Vedic culture. And you tell them, oh, you are so wise, you are, now forget everything and surrender to Lord Chaitanya. Oh yeah, that's mainly our preaching. So yeah, that's why this subject is very important, because there's so many things that we have learned and we have to abandon, we have to forget, we have to disobey this kind of gurus. And we have to also see with devotees which gurus, instructions are bona fide and which are not. And of course, just to make the whole picture correct, in most of the cases we disobey the instruction not because the Srila Prabhupada had a different view. We disobey the instructions because we're whimsical and so on, so many things like this. But it's really important to understand that sometimes it's good to analyze the instructions we receive and see if they are bona fide, see if Prabhupada wanted us to do that. So this is the strange teaching, but it's not really so strange that how, because usually we teach everyone how to obey the guru. And this is this part with Maharaj Nimi is we have this example of Maharaj Nimi who is disobeying the guru. So sometimes we have to do that also. Okay, I'll stop here. If there are some comments, concerns.
Urgai Prabhu. I was witnessing already a few years ago one strange confrontation between a disciple and a spiritual master, and it was, the disciple was, I think, out of line. He breached the etiquette, but it's, to me at least, it seemed there was some point in what he was saying. He was saying to his spiritual master, why are you promoting women diksha if Prabhupada said something else? So what, now this situation are coming up, and it's really, I mean, disciple was really not behaving respectfully enough, I think. But maybe if you can comment, what if such situation come up now, because you said we are following Prabhupada and we are judging whether our spiritual master is following Prabhupada, but who are we to judge? That's one point. And if it seems to you that he is not following Prabhupada, what to do? And this is a very concrete example what this disciple has. You have some idea?
I mean, about this women diksha, I think there's situation is very complex. let's put it like this: it's not black and white. So and many situations are like this. So one of the things which I learned the hard way, is that it's sometimes in these situations which are very complicated, it's good not to take a very hard position. You know, like, because are you sure you're right? And many times you might not be. So that's one point, you know, like, so in this connection there was a long debate, there was argument for having women diksha, there was arguments for not having, from Prabhupada's books. So it's really a complex situation, you know, like, you cannot say it's black or white. You know, you cannot say this, you know, like, that's, it's clear. It's clear situation. You have the most intelligent persons in our society who are debating there, and there was arguments pro, contra, you know, like, it was really, I don't know the details, but I know it's really complicated, you know, it's not black and white. So that's one thing. The other thing is, if guru is fallen, then, and we're speaking just about Diksha Guru, there's a process, you know, like, it's not something whimsical. You know, like, it's not, and it's not, probably that's not the proper attitude. Guru, there's even a procedure in ISKCON about how to to reject your guru. And the idea is that you don't reject because you feel one morning that he's fallen. You reject because there is some higher authorities. They realize, oh, this guru is out of line. He's not a guru anymore. Because it's really, really a huge offense to disobey the guru, you know, like, if he's bona fide. It's really bad, because after so many lifetimes you get a bona fide guru and you think, oh, he was looking at me the wrong way, I have to reject him. You know, so then for millions of lifetimes you will not get a bona fide guru anymore, because you're you don't know how to that's one thing. And usually the culture is that if you have some concerns about authorities, you normally go to some authority, some common authority who can solve this. You know, like, you phrase your concerns in a nice way and you go to some common authority who can. Especially if we're talking about senior devotees, you know, like, to give a crazy example. So if I have some concern about Ananta Prabhu, who's senior to me, you know, like, I don't just bump into his office and like, oh, Ananta, you're fallen. What's this? What's wrong? No, like, there's a procedure. We find someone who is senior to him and we can discuss, you know, like. Or if you have this relationship, you can go and friendly, you know, like, you can always put it like, there's this thing I don't understand, how to understand this, and so on. And many times it can get clarified. So it's, yeah, I don't know if there's some clarity in this subject. But anyway, this is also important, that many times we think we see something, and it's not what we see. There's Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was telling a very nice story in his life. About how we can think something is happening, but this is not what is happening. Like, because we see the facts, but we don't see the logic behind. We don't see what the other person is thinking. So he gave this example. He came for Sunday feast, It was Sunday feast, and he came late because he was for a preaching program or was Sankirtan, you know, he was in a preaching engagement. And he came back, and there was no more sweets. And so he went there, and he was like hungry, and he wanted some sweets. Anyway, and there was this senior devotee who is there, he has some sweets on his plate. And he's just telling to the servers, are there any more sweets? And then he's like fuming, you know, like, come on, this guy is so lusty, you know. I didn't have any sweets, and he has a full plate of sweets, and now he wants more, and I didn't have any. And because this guy was a senior devotee, some of the servers who put some plates aside took something from their plates, and they were like taking it and to give to him. And he said, yes, Prabhu, here there's some sweets. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was already fuming, like, oh my God, come on. And then this Prabhu said, yes, give it to him. So he said, give to this to Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, because he came late and he didn't get any sweets, so please give, he was out preaching, so please give him some sweets. So, you know, like, he was like, first he was fuming that, oh, this such a rascal, and then he was like completely humbled, you know, like, come on. So many times we have to have this doubt that maybe things are not as we think they are. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.